The death of God is about the drying up of a horizon of meaning and of a whole form of human life.
Where do we stand in the illusion it makes? What kind of space are we invited into?
The material relations between people become social relations between things. When we look at toasters, corn, and TVs,
to a large extent, live in the interregnum between worlds, if you will, or between paradigms. Not many people in the history of the world have faced that.
Zero Squared is the Zero Books podcast.
Derek Varn is a reader at Zero Books, the host of Symptomatic Redness, and my nemesis. In this episode, you'll hear the second half of our debate on the question of free speech. It's Wednesday, February 20th, 2019, and I'm Douglas Lane, the publisher of Zero Books, and the host of this podcast. This is part two of a two-part conversation, and is available in full for our Patreon supporters. Our Patreon supporters get access to two podcasts every week, Symptomatic Redness and Zero Squared. But if you're listening for free, you'll always be able to access one or the other podcasts each week. I hope you enjoy them. The music you're listening to right now is The Charleston by James P. Johnson. I have no idea why I chose that. But in just a moment, you'll be listening to Derek Varn and I supposedly debate the issue of free speech. Let's talk about an actual petite bourgeois liberal, because I was fascinated to stumble upon Fukuyama's position on free speech and Fukuyama's position on politics generally. I started his book, Political Order and Political Decay, I think it's I listened to a couple of speeches.
My suggestion, because you were reading The Last Man, and I was like, look, he's gotten over that. Like, he's moved on. Here's what he's moved on to.
Right. Well, it's very interesting reading, and the premise that what's most significant, or as significant as democracy, is a powerful state, is one that cuts against what most leftists or liberals would want to claim, or at least I think it cuts against that. But it's also it's not easy to overturn the need for a powerful state in terms of mass organization in order to provide basic services and, you know, what kind of the hallmarks of civilization are all about, like clean water, for instance. He makes a strong case for the need for a strong state. And also, though, he makes a case for why a strong state can get to be too strong and start to decay. But it's all operating on the level of political determinism. He has no economic critique at all that I can see. And also, in certain circumstances, his position becomes one which I wouldn't expect for someone who's such a lover of liberal democratic states, which is that, for instance, he's fine with the state intervening to control speech, especially in moments like this one, where there's an ability for democracy not to have the kind of influence that it should if you're concerned about maintaining a strong state.
That's because Fukuyama's a more consistent Hegelian than you.
Right.
I mean, I'm actually being serious about this. This is like your Marxism's creeping in against your Hegelianism, Doug. But I mean, like, in a very real sense, because of the Hegelian truth, particularly when we get into philosophy of the right, is that the state is a manifestation of the corrective free will and the collective liberty, right? Like, the state itself is that manifestation. So some individual limitations are sustainable because of he wouldn't have thought in these terms, but almost utilitarian calculus. It's actually very similar, because since the state is the manifestation of collective freedom and collective good, the state against any one person's freedom or good, if that one person weakens the state, is not worth it. So they might have to be suppressed. I mean, this is sort of why, the dialectic that Hegel sees in Napoleon and then the Prussian state, all that. I mean, like, you know. As a Marxist, we sort of would be like, well, the state is actually just the ruling committee of whatever class organization that you have at the time. And thus we would have a different attitude about that because the state is not the social totality. It is it is just how we can regulate part of the social totality.
Right, exactly. That's where I differ with him, is that he seems to think that if we could only get the state right, we would we'd be at the end of history and we'd be able to arrive at some sort of harmonious social order. But then, you know, if you follow him closely and you try to think about what the aims of communism are, some of the problems remain, like the problem of individual liberty as opposed to collective will doesn't just go away because you get rid of the disorder or the contradictions of capitalist production and accumulation. That, you know, the aim of communism is get to the point almost where some sort of human institution can be directly influential on our social conditions.
Right. But you and I have been big on reminding people that Marxism isn't just about liberty. It actually is about even individual liberty. It's just that history is only changed in aggregate. Like, that's the tension. We talk about collectivity versus Bush's individuality. The dialectical synthesis, to use, you know, modern weird talk, but Marx wouldn't have used, but it actually is true, that Marx proposes is like, we're about individual liberty, but we realize we can't be free as individuals until we're free in aggregate, collectively. But the aggregate is determined by the individual and vice versa. So, and everybody in Marxist discourse and in liberal discourse seems to ignore part of that equation. So, you know, the liberal discourse is a favor of the individual against the aggregate, but not putting down that the individual is determined by their culture, their time and place, their material circumstances, their class, you know, a variety of reasons. Or they flip it and pretend that you're totally determined by it. And that there's no individual will and that individual agency is irrelevant. Marx never was that dumb. Like, I want to make that abundantly clear. It's like there's just been this weird thing that leftists have done, and particularly Stalinists, but not just Stalinists. It's been across the board where this mischaracterization or misunderstanding of leftism promoted by the right is like taken as good. It is not only true, but it's good though. Whereas like some of the right wingers are right that this is terrible, but we don't actually believe it. you know, the suppression of free speech being one of them. And I have been heartened by the fact that you and I are having this discussion, and you have seen that this debate on the left, with the exception of an increasingly minority view in the left, has that our side has kind of won.